Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Friday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is February 25th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing, I'm all right. I went to pull out my, the thing we record with, my thing for my mic.
Microphone?
It's like an interface, you know, just don't plug a microphone into your computer. You know, you plug it into something else and the thing broke, the plug broke. So, I'm on my AirPods. I apologize. It's not crystal clear audio.
The day we start apologizing for our audio quality is the day we lose our soul, I would say. So I don't know that you need to apologize. You know, no one expects anything from us.
Well, for any audio snob out there, you know, you can hear it. Something's loose in there. It's broken.
I talked to a colleague of ours today. Speaking of this, you can hear it rattling around in there. I spoke to a colleague of yours, Garrett Morrison, had a question for me. I called him from my car and he goes, "Oh my God, this sounds just like the Caves Valley situation." I was like, "It is. It's raining. It's the exact same car. I'm shouting at the windshield." It was like, this was once the podcast set up. The wipers are going back and forth. He goes, "This sounds exactly like it. You're cutting in and out." I was like, "Yeah, can you believe it? This is how we record a podcast once." But anyways, I'm out of Florida. It's 31 degrees. I love
the swamp.
I enjoyed the swamp. Look, I enjoyed it. I went in February. It sank my hooks in. You know, it sank its hooks into me. I appreciate the benefits of the life down there in February. Now, my entire point of that was always like, hey, if you're a PGA Tour pro, maybe living, you know, all the weeks you're not on the PGA Tour bubble, flying private, living in Jupiter, maybe you won't have the greatest perspective or grasp on the world. If half your time's at Jupiter and half your time's at the PGA Tour bubble on the world. That's out on the road. That was my
seems
point.
Seems like your team's changing, though.
You have a twisted perspective. It wasn't the
like
Jupiter
you're...
comet. It was the Jupiter cabal of PGA Tour players that
seems
seemed to
like
wreck
you just
our
admitted
Ryder Cup.
Were, by saying how much you enjoyed it, you admitted that, you know, if you could live anywhere, you were playing golf, that might be a place you live.
Well, I mean, I'm open to a membership at Panther National, which we'll come in to talk about later. The JT and Jack design that's on the last, apparently the last developable plot of land in Palm Beach Gardens. I swear, driving around, I couldn't believe there was anything. God, there's a course or a strip mall in every 10 feet. I'm surprised they found, but they found it, Jack and JT, which we'll get to later.
They found so many world-class holes. Everywhere they turned in that swamp, they found world-class holes, and I just can't wait to see, you know, Jack, one of Jack's new things as he mimics other architects like he's done his entire career, never, you know, really with anything original, just bad ripoffs of other people. I'm sure that there'll be some centerline bunkers, which will be interesting to see if JT just nixes them right off the boat.
Why,
off the
Jack's
bat.
Open to doing that? He's open to putting those out there?
Well, you know, here's the thing. He doesn't know how to execute them really, but
sure.
Well, when he sees that, you know, Tom Doak and Bill Kaur and Gil Hanse are doing it, then he does it. It's a monkey see, monkey do kind of thing with his design firm. So,
all right, interesting.
I'm sure I'll get an email about that tomorrow. But you know, it is what it is.
We'll talk. I do want to talk about that, but we'll talk about that later. First, we got to talk about. I mean, look, social media, by and large, probably not a net win for our society. It seems to divide us more than, you know, bots and things and you know, our own cocoons divide us more often than it's not. But it's been good for a few industries, I would say. The pumpkin patches, Everybody's got to put on a flannel, go put their kid on a bale of hay and post it to Instagram. The first day of chalkboard industry. You know, I never seen these chalkboards. Now everybody buys a first day of school chalkboard where they write in their stuff. I mean, that's booming. Whoever makes those is living high on the hog. Probably got a membership at Panther National now. It's been good for the I voted stickers, right? You know, you go vote and, hey, democracy. I got to take a picture of myself. I never saw those stickers as much as I do now. And I got to tell you.
It's been good for unboxing videos.
It's been good for unboxing videos. And now it is booming for the graphic design digital letterhead industry. I mean, the digital, the letterhead that's going around, whether it's open letters, apologies, these things, you know, I don't know what happened in the old day. You'd have to take out an ad in a newspaper, call up the producer at SportsCenter and be like, hey, can you put this in a graphic and put it on TV? Like, I don't know what used to happen. But now we've got all these guys. We've got Liv. We've got Phil jumping around. It's been a big, big week for the digital letterhead industry with guys just firing off letters all willy-nilly. We'll begin with Greg Norman. I mean, any Tom, Dick, and I don't know, Mohammed bin Salman can design you a letterhead and send it out into the world.
I think we should get some shotgun start letterhead and start to announce things on it. Like, the podcast will be out at 10
a.m. It's delayed tomorrow. I mean, do you remember, like, whatever, Michael Jordan's return? Like, I'm back, right? Like, yeah. That, like, fact. Like, that was an old school letter. Now it's got, yeah. You got every, like I said, Tom, Dick, and Mohammed bin Salman can make up some letterhead for you to fire out into the world. And this is the one, February 24th. Commissioner Jay Monahan. I mean, you know, if this was really for Jay Monahan, it probably could have been an email, right? But I don't think Greg Norman really was intending to send this to Jay Monahan. It seems like a PR play to win the hearts and minds of legal scholars and whatever else.
Here's the defense. I would say that he's tried delivering letters the good old-fashioned way, and he's never sure if they really land. He knew this one. Doing it this way, this was going to land. This was going to get to Jay Monahan.
I mean, if he sends an email, I think Jay's opening it and reading it. This is just a showmanship shit. Like, just if you try to send it to Jay Monahan, just email it to him. If that's who you want to see it,
can we pause
you email
here?
What?
Can we pause? You want to talk about showmanship?
Yeah.
How about the PGA Tour, like, having every player do a hostage video where they're announcing their allegiance to the PGA Tour, forced announcement of allegiance to the PGA Tour.
I haven't seen
it. Feels
that.
Like, where's these that feel happening? Like hostage videos.
Oh,
these
come on.
The Xander Schauffele statement.
That was a weird deal.
Reads like a hostage statement. It's like, I have to do this. I am allegiance to the PGA Tour. The Jay's having this meeting where he's just throwing out, you know,
mandatory,
absurd things. Yeah, it just, in a way, you've got, like, the tour, it's like declaring itself, you know, it is a monopoly, and now it's acting like a monopoly on one side of the coin, and Norman is on the other side of the coin. Like, I don't know. I think the big thing I'm taking away from this, neither of these organizations are good. I don't like either of them.
For different reasons. Let's scale. We're on a scale here. I mean, come on.
The tour is not, you know, they're acting like absurd. You know, I get it. I get that there's a threat. But you're a nonprofit. And this is what the business world is that people come after your turf. You don't have a monopoly on so-and-so. And, yeah. You know, like they're acting like, you know, I don't know. I think there's both sides of this. They're like, the more the tour is doing, the more unlikable they're becoming in my eyes. I loathe Saudi Arabia. I think that's awful. I don't think Saudi Arabia is good at all. If there was any other money behind this SGL other than the Saudis, if it was just like, you know, rich billionaires, I'd be for this league because the PGA Tour stinks and they're going to double down. They have more. Almost more, this helped them more than anything else.
Yeah, I've wondered about that. Like, Is it going to force real change, or is it going to force more affirmation in who they are and what they do, and just, like you said, double down and like sink their, like, you know, dig their feet in on what they got and make them more confident in what they have? Because honestly, like, I was thinking about this right before we came on the air today, or whatever, recorded air or whatever it is. It's like, this is like the, I mean, the tour was vulnerable and they brought freaking Greg Norman. Just a testable idiot. Like, he's a joker. He's not a serious person. I understand he's made money, but he might not have, I mean, I don't know. He's sold a couple big houses in recent years. They brought Norman, Phil Mickelson, and the Saudi Arabia. Like, that, like, any combination of, like, I mean, probably the Saudi thing is a non-starter for a lot of people, but, like, and rightfully so. But, like, it's just the worst possible combination. They didn't come correct, except for the money.
And they're blocking. And effectively, they're blocking anybody else to do this. Nobody has deeper pockets than Saudi Arabia. So that's the thing that's happening, is that, you know, like, the tour is ripe. And Phil got a lot of stuff right. Like, the tour is ripe for disruption. We complain about it. Like, nobody knows it more than the people that cover it every week, like 47 weeks a year of this just... You know, the
three podcasts a week,
the Honda Classic fields, not to dump on the Honda Classic. They've paid their bills.
We did that Wednesday.
They've, you know, but like, there's not one player in the top 12 in the world rankings in this.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is a huge, the tour has a huge product problem. Everybody that watches golf regularly knows this. They watch golf because they love golf. I love golf. I talk about it three times a week. I love golf. I hate the tour's product week in, week out. You know, last week at Riv, delightful. You know, they get like once a month, the product's really good.
But I mean, we're not even at the part of the season where fatigue is set in, more or less. I mean, this is the Q1 into the Masters is really like kind of where we can, where most of the diehards really are into golf week in and week out, even when it's weaker field. Like, you're not fatigued by... mid-April, mid-May, it's like, I don't know why these things exist. But I want to ask you, before we get into these letters, I thought we were going to read letters, but this is a good discussion. Like, what I just said, do you agree or disagree with it? Do you think real change, they're really going to change their product, or there's going to be like a Band-Aid here or there, like this fall thing they're talking about with the top 10, some sort of international series? Like, or do you really think they're going to come in cockier than ever? You know, the moat withstood the barrage, and we know what we're doing, and we don't need to change a damn thing.
Well, that's, I think in a way they now are going to be almost more double down on what they're doing. I don't think there, you know, there might be a few small changes here and there, but I think what they've done is essentially they've corralled what they did with Phil. Phil, you know, is essentially like the, look, you go against us and this is what's going to happen to you. And I think that's what their messaging is going to be.
Well,
is around,
again,
like,
Phil Phil's an idiot. He did it in the most stumbling, bumbling way. And maybe, I know, he's not an idiot,
but
he's also desperate too. He's desperate, wounded and desperate for money, it seems like. You know, again, I think any combination of players, parties, backing could have really picked them off in a more, I don't know, significant way. And who's to say that few billionaires, like you said, haven't watched this unfold and said, like, wow, these, it looks like there were a lot of top players that were certainly open to talking to the Saudis, at least open, and maybe some were going to jump, and then it kind of fell apart, and maybe we give this another run and a little bit farther down the line, create our own league, right?
Well, the other thing, the other part of this is the Saudis, as Greg Norman, then this can segue us into Greg Norman, they aren't going away,
yeah.
And that's one of the other issues. If the Saudis just were out, like, maybe somebody revisits this in a couple years. But I know, like, usually rich people and people that want to invest a lot of money in something get spooked when something doesn't work. And as you alluded to, you put maybe the worst front man you could put out there, and then you had Phil doing stupid shit with it, and you had the worst investors you could possibly have behind it. So the people that tried
from a PR perspective, not money.
Three of the worst,
yeah,
people that you could have put in the situation.
Right, right. All right, so that leads us in to they're not going away. Commissioner Jay Monahan, 1 PGA Tour Boulevard, Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida. As several listeners made a fantastic joke, I saw Pat Vint, others tweeted that Norman should have sailed across the moat and hand-delivered it. Of course, you know, are we calling, someone suggested that we call him the mailman. This, of course, is back, leans back on our one of our favorite stories that Norman drove down the road in, what is it, Jupiter Island to hand-deliver Tiger a note about winning the Masters, and Tiger just didn't even acknowledge him or give him the time of day. You know, maybe he found the letter in the mailbox, and then he never even responded in kind or thanked him. And Greg, like, Norman was sure to tell everyone, the whole world, that he did this and that Tiger didn't respond. Make sure it was a public act of whatever. I don't know. Again, Norman just, you know, audience of one himself, like this with this letter, making sure it gets out to the world. Dear Commissioner Monahan, and we just jump into the shallow end head first with this opener. Surely you jest, period. Now, I mean, everything that comes after this, I would say, surely you jest. Like, you don't open a letter that way. This is, I don't care if you're Greg Norman, if you're the greatest living orator in the country, you're a legendary attorney, I don't care. Whatever comes after this is just not compelling to me. It's unserious and it's bogus. You've started your letter with surely you jest, and that's it. I'm out. I understand, like, whatever argument, however rock solid or persuasive it is, I'm done. This is not a compelling and a serious letter.
I have
letter.
A question, real question for you right now. How much would the Saudis have to pay you to become the letter writer?
The letter writer. You can't start it with surely you jest. And surely your lawyers... So many adverbs.
If they paid you $1 million a year, would you go be their letter writer?
These are hypotheticals I don't want to entertain. But no, of course not. I'm a man of principle. I need $1.5 million. No, I don't know. I'm kidding. Surely you jest, and surely your lawyers at the PGA Tour must be holding their breath. I mean, I don't think that's true either. I think the lawyers at the PGA Tour.
Well, they'd die. They'd die if they held their breath. Because humans have to breathe.
What a horrible intro. Do we want to read this? He says, you've threatened our players, you're
just
bullying.
Just give him the clip notes. I don't think we need to read this whole thing. The
what he's going
thing,
for
we
is...
We still have the Phil letter to get to.
Oh, yeah. What he's getting for is the legal... The outline... I mean, I guess a legal argument, but it's Greg Norman... starting with these preposterous statements saying, you know, you're bullying. You can't really do a lifetime ban of your players. We want to work together. I love this line. He did speak to me on this one with this shitty joke. The tour is the player's tour, not your administration's tour. His capitalization is all over the place. He would not survive a day working for PGA Tour comms or PGA Tour social with this inconsistent capitalization scheme. He was not qualified. The tour is the player's tour, not your administration's tour. Why do you call the crown jewel in all tournaments outside the majors the player's championship and not the administration's championship? Such a shitty joke. It's so bad. It doesn't even make a good point. Like, look, no one does. Like, it's the player. Like, they promote it as the player's championship for the players. It's our championship. And I don't think the tour has ever argued otherwise. But when you try to bluff and intimidate players by bullying and threatening them, you are guilty of going too far, being unfair, and you are likely in violation of the law. You can't ban players from playing golf. Players have the right and freedom to play where we like. I know for a fact that many PGA Tour players... many PGA players. Again, he just is bouncing. So I don't know if that's Omar Uresti, whoever else. Many PGA players were and still are interested...
It's only players that have. It's ben Omar Cook. And Ben Cook. It's players with some sort of tour status and PGA status.
Were and still are interested in playing for a new league in addition, italicized for emphasis, in addition to playing for the
tour. Would you have gone with italicized or bold there for emphasis?
Probably italicized, I think. Maybe all caps.
Or all caps.
All caps. That seems more appropriate for this document, whatever it is. What is wrong with that? Question mark. Just leaving it out there. Hypothetical. What is wrong with allowing players to make their own decisions? Like, this is just a straw man. What is wrong with player choice? Why do you feel so threatened that you would resort to a desperate, unwise, and unenforceable threat? So then he notices a recent article. It just kind of fell out of his pocket into his lap. Like, InsideSources.com, which is not a digital outlet with which I am familiar, but was written by a former chief lawyer to the FTC. A lifetime ban is never going to happen. It would trigger a slam dunk antitrust lawsuit. Again, this is one man's opinion. I understand he has some credentials, but it conveniently fell in the lap of Greg Norman's lawyer letter. Competition is healthy. Getting to your point, he closes with that. Your opening point, competition is healthy. You're engaging in unfair labor practices. Commissioner, this is just the beginning. It is certainly not the end. I mean, that and the opening just reek of desperation. They're obviously have had a lot of pitches or plays not go their way in the last 4 to 5 days. And this is a weird, after working behind the scenes for many, many, many years, months, almost years, you've got this sort of desperate heave in public.
Here's my question. Like, just about all this in general. What does next year's Saudi International look like?
I don't know.
Are we going to get the same players? Like,
it seems like DJ probably shouldn't go over there.
Well,
or maybe
that's
he does.
The thing.
For
all these guys that
million,
pledged
whatever.
Their allegiance that PGA right. Tour com said, time for your hostage video.
Tom, there were no hostages videos. Like, you're overdoing
hostage
that.
Statement. Time for you. It's your turn this time to pledge allegiance. You've been rumored. You played in Saudi Arabia. You need to write your statement of allegiance. But, like, anyways, what's it going to look like? Is it going to look the same?
I would think not. I mean, could it even be an Asian tour event? Could it just be a one-off party?
Is it going to be better?
25 guys
every year,
and everybody gets
better.
$2 million. Yeah, it could be a non-sanctioned OWGR event. It could just be like, here's 30 guys, get $2 million. Everybody comes and plays. It could be anything. It might not be an Asian tour event. You don't know. So, I mean, we don't know.
Let's just say it's the same.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they just start to do three a year?
Three of those with the one-time appearance fees, even if you're not part of the SGL?
Yeah. You could. Then the next year, why don't they do five?
Because how many waivers do you get? I think you only get like 3 years.
Well, I think my point is this is how you start to push them.
Yeah.
If I were on the other side of this, I would say, okay, our like strategy didn't work.
Yep.
Why don't we just try something else? Like, let's see how many times we can get guys to play where we want them to play.
I think
because more, like if you're telling DJ or you're telling any of these guys, if I'm saying I'm going to pay you $5 million to show up three times this year at places, people are probably going to do it.
Yeah. I even think like it didn't work is like a subjective thing. I'm not even sure that we can conclusively say that. Phil torpedoed it for sure. They weren't getting a lot of the top guys, but like they made a fair amount of progress, and that progress isn't entirely washed out for whenever they try to come and take the bite of the apple again. I'm not saying like they failed to get primarily what they wanted to do done, but it wasn't. I wouldn't say it was
well,
a total
I mean,
wash.
A week ago, before the Phil quotes came out, it seemed like they were going with, and they had four or five pretty big names.
Yeah. Right. And this is, again, not to sort of defend the Saudi element of it. We're trying to coldly analyze their effort here. On the instant letter, what this signals to me is, like, we're probably headed for some litigation. I mean, we probably were before, whether this came out or not. But it feels like somebody...
Who's going to be the guy? Is it Kokrak?
Poulter, Kokrak, Paul Casey. Shane Lowry came out and said he was super offended that he's been rumored and thrown it. Like, you know, now he wants to be a politician.
Oh, now he's a politician.
He's on the stump on the campaign trail. So he's out, but I don't. I think one somebody's gonna go. Could be Kokrak.
Here's the thing.
And then they'll ban him, and then they'll sue, and he'll be the guinea pig, and that's it.
I was thinking about Kokrak.
Yeah.
He says he wants to retire by what was 44.
Yep. It's a lot to do in Hudson, Ohio, Northeast Ohio.
So
you can live a good life.
There's a way. There's a way he could. He could play his cards right here, pun intended. He could go all in here, and he could never hit another golf shot and end up being richer than anybody.
Just by being the sort of...
So I'm assuming...
I don't want to use a terrible analogy. The player's rights... The paragon of players' rights, like fighting for them. I'm gonna go sit in court for 10 years for you guys.
Here's the thing: his stack, whatever his offer was, he probably can now get double the money because everybody's run away from him. So he goes, go take the money, and then go get in court. And if you win, we can be talking about a huge sum of money.
So that's a totally separate question then above our well, most things are above our intelligence and expertise levels. But like Joel Beal had an article in Golf Digest about it maybe 10 days ago where he talked to some legal experts and some agents, and Darren Heitner was one of them. It seemed like the PGA Tour would be on pretty solid legal footing for a ban. But again, like... I don't know. Kind of depends on the court. Depends on the attorney. That's two lawyer. That's two opinions in an article.
Seems like there's been a legislation that nobody thought would ever be passed, being passed recently. So who knows? Like, that's the thing. You go to court, you never know what's going to happen.
Most of the time. Yeah. So it does seem like we're headed that way. It seems like this, you know... Let's be honest, though. This was a desperate letter. It reeked of desperation. They took a bunch of punches to the face in the last 5 days, and like this was their response to trying to get back in the ring.
Do you think any letter that's not desperate would open with "Surely you jest"?
It is certainly not the end. It is just the beginning. Yeah, and then signs it. I love. Thank you again for all the tweets about it. Hand delivered. Had to just leave with the drawbridge operator. That made me laugh, and then run away down the street. So good. It's good for content. I don't know that it's worth that much. Again, can I also make this last point, and then we'll do an ad read here. Again, these guys would have a lot better arguments, even if it's Norman and Phil, talking about media rights and freedoms, and freedom to choose and work and operate and play how you want to play, if the alternative wasn't running into the arms of the fucking Saudi Arabian government, right?
That is truly the issue.
Right.
That's freedoms. What everybody should be excited about. Here's the thing. We shouldn't be excited that the PGA Tour is maybe stronger than ever.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Again, so yeah, it's just hard to hear these guys talk about, you know, freedoms and rights and anti-competition when what they are alternatively seeking is a Saudi-backed thing. All right, let's do an ad read for our friends at BeDratty. Look, I was down in the swamp, as you heard. Got that interview with Brad Faxon. He was fantastic. Some good feedback on that, Andy. Not just me, you know, hyping interviews before people listen to him. Had several people say they enjoyed Brad, not me. I had no role in it, but they enjoyed Faxon. But what I was also down there for, I heard Billy Dratty speak about you know, different line, the spring line, the fall line. And I came away, I came away with sort of the original sort of impression that I had from them like 3-4 years ago. I saw Billy in the airport on Wednesday, Palm Beach Airport. I was going to go up and say hi. You know, we're friendly. I like him a lot. We always talk extensively and we see each other. But then I saw he's like head down on his iPad. He was like grinding on something, or he was just daydreaming, doodling stuff. And I was like, I'm going to leave him alone. Like airport, you know, I don't know if you really want to talk to people unsolicitedly at the airport. So I was like, all right, I'm going to keep going. So I saw him from afar. I guess the point I'm making is like with Bedratti, I think it helps to sort of know the person that's behind stuff, that that person is a real person, that it exists. And he's probably spent his whole life walking down the sidewalk with shit like this bouncing around in his head. How do I make this seam, this button, this cut, this fabric? I don't know. I'm not an expert like you are, walking around with golf course architecture. And I don't want to name names of competitors. Under Armour, Nike, never mind. Where like shit might be like just mass produced, right? And there's a bajillion middle managers and like, hey, instead of that stripe, we're going to make it this stripe. And all these stuff. Like, I just think it's nice to know that, you know, whatever you end up buying was well conceived and thought out by a very specific person who's been dedicated to this like his entire life. I think that shit matters. I don't know. It's mattered a lot more to me as I got older. And you might not like a certain color or size or piece, but find one you do like. I think that matters. And that's why I would encourage you to go to bedratti.com. You can use the promo code SGS25. You get 25% off. By the way, that's what I would tell like a buddy in a bar, not an ad read. Like that's honestly how I feel and what I've come to think of things, not just clothes, as I've gotten older. Like I think it matters to kind of know the people and not do the mass produced shit. So go to bedratti.com, buy a polo, buy shorts, there's something they call shoulder season, I guess, between like, you know, real cold and real warm. If you need like a vest, a pullover, things like that. You can use the code SGS25 for 25% off. That's not an insignificant amount. You can really knock a lot off your final tally there when you throw that in the promo code section. So thanks again to Bedratti for their support of the Shotgun Start and Fried Egg, really from our earliest days. All right.
Wow, nice ad read. I didn't have to do anything. I just got to sit back, relax.
No bullshit. Listen. That's honestly what's been bouncing around in my head. Not because I wanted an ad read, but it was an impression that was made upon me. So I don't know whether you feel sold to, that's fine, but it's how I honestly feel. All right, let's go to more tweeted out letters and documents. Phil Mickelson on letterhead with him jumping on the 18th green at Augusta National, you know, getting off the air that's on the back of his shoes and collar and hat and all that.
But, you know, he has that. It seems like, I'm just going to put this out there, he is monetizing a tournament moment with those logos.
So, yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. I heard every manner of crazy rumor around Phil when I was down in the swamp. Like, every manner. You could have heard he was banned from everything in the world, banned from walking out of his house on house arrest, banned from every tournament, banned from every league, or he was, you know, living in Saudi, like a lot of rumors out there. Anyways, you suggested, and you know, I think this letter is now, we recorded like honestly an hour before it came out on Tuesday. We don't need to go through this line by line. It's been dissected, pilloried mostly. I thought like Brandel Chambly had a pretty nice dissection of it. It seems to be apologizing to the Saudis for calling them scary MFers and suggesting, I don't, you know, their human rights abuses are horrific. It really does seem to be sort of trying to mend that fence more than any other. Gives, you know, what made you go down the Pete Rose route? That's what I want to say. You opened the podcast. You added at the front end of Wednesday's pod because we didn't get to talk about this. But you suggested, because I think we're gonna, this gets to the heart of a lot of what's in this letter, that you think he might be coming a Pete Rose of golf. What do you mean by that? Elaborate.
I mean, I don't know where he's going to be playing golf. You know, with the way his peers have spoken out against him, I can't imagine the things that Jay Monahan has said behind closed doors about him. I, you know, there's just something about that's a fraternity out there, right? And those guys talk, and it's a small place. You know, the word travels around there quickly. And I think that those comments that came out from Alan Shipnuck were almost daggers to his career in golf. You know, obviously a lot of people won't know what happened, still, like, your casual fans. But, you know, the question is, like, is he suspended right now? We don't know, because it is, you know, part of the bullshit of the PGA Tour that, you know, people might be wondering why I have such issues with them. Like, we don't know, because we don't get told anything. We don't know if somebody's injured or battling an injury before a week and there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars being bet on, you know, players without knowing this stuff. But with Phil, he might be suspended for the year. We don't know.
Do you think he'd be banned from any of the majors?
That's where I kind of sit. I think that when I think about Augusta, I think that would be the one, because there's never a sure thing.
It's a total discretion by them. I mean, now they haven't pulled that in a long time, but they've done it before. But
and you know, just in general, his actions over the last 6 months have not been good. You know. And the quotes that came out were the thing that illuminated kind of, it was, I think, for the world of golf, kind of a, what the fuck are you talking about, man? Because, like, it's one thing to do that, but it's the Saudi thing, you know, that, yeah, you know, to have the awareness of what you're doing still do it.
And I think the motivations, despite his rhetoric, are pretty self-interested and self-interested in his own bank account, whether, you know, whatever position he's currently in. And you talked about the fraternity. I wonder, like, he's so high profile, like, if more guys will kind of walk out there and take shots, right? Or leak stuff, or tell bad anecdotes and bad stories. I mean, like, Pat Perez in that press conference, it was like, Phil's got a lot of stress going on right now, stress in his life right now. Now, that wasn't like a direct allusion to a direct, I don't know, shot, but it seemed to be an allusion to some sort of gossipy type thing, right? I mean, or I don't know. Maybe he's just talking about his deliberations with Saudi Arabia. But, like, you talk about guys who feel spurned and pissed off. There's probably guys who have a lot of stories. Do you think more unflattering things come out about Phil?
Well, that's the thing. Sometimes the best thing you can do, you know, if you're a high profile person like this, is just go hide out for a while. Let things chill out, and he's 51.
Who do you think plays first? Tiger or Phil? Who do you think we see play next?
I, you know, unless I'm told otherwise, I think it's Phil in the Masters, but you know, from that letter, it seems like he's not going to be playing anytime soon.
Yeah, so let's continue on with the letter. And by the way, like, we do know Augusta maybe has talked about disinviting people in recent years, but they've never, I mean, doing it is a different thing. So let's talk about that ending, you not playing a while. So the past 10 years, I've felt the pressure and stress slowly affecting me at a deeper level. I know I've not been my best and desperately need some time away to prioritize the ones I love most and work on being the man I want to be. That seems to be some sort of, I don't know. He plays the victim card at the top. I think that's how Chamblee called it. He was a victim of journalism malpractice, which Alan Shipnuck has vehemently denied, said he was on the record and never said he was off the record and said it's completely false. And he closes with, like, going away.
You know, that's any confrontation, right?
Yeah.
You get in a car accident and that's what happens.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I think everybody's been in a situation. Like, it's a code between two people and oftentimes you nobody will ever know what happened.
I mean, I would say, I would think journalism, I don't know. You don't trifle with that. I mean, I'm not a, I didn't go to journalism school, but I know not to. If a guy tells me they're off the record, you know, it's like absolute gold. I will never ever deny, you know, break that. And, you know, I'm not going to give him the opportunity to do it, right? He's got to say it, right? And if you don't, and you just email me or you call me or you text me, like, it's all on the record unless you say it explicitly. So I think most people really abide by that. Like, it's really, really sacrosanct to mess with that. So it sounds like he's going away for a while. The partners seem to be dropping him. And this, I think, gets a little bit to your Pete Rose analogy. KPMG, this was mutually agreed, right? Mutually agreed. He, of course, gave them the out in his letter. Said, if you would like to pause a contract or just get rid of it, I will give you that option to do so. And we still be great friends because I love you and I love your companies, right? I mean, that was such a magnanimous gesture. And then I think he probably got word that things were coming down the pike. And, you know, within an hour, KPMG, it was public that they had left him. Where else does that leave us? Callaway? I haven't heard much on that.
They have a lifetime contract.
I mean, I've heard both sides of the coin on that one. I got, like, honestly, you've heard every rumor. I've heard they're lean. I've heard they're not. I don't think they're probably will, would be my guess. Is Workday still with him? Workday signed with Rory. They might be out. I don't know. So he's losing sponsors. He's just in a really, really bad, bad place. Anything else on Phil's apology letter? We didn't give it a full dissection. It got just ripped to smithereens, and he got ripped to smithereens right after our recording.
I mean, I think everybody's kind of picked this apart. Thus, you know, people do want to, you know, I think the thing that's amazing about it is that there's, you know, there's no real apology to anybody except for the Saudi Arabia, you know, and the SGL team, really. Yeah. And I think, it'll be.
He's down bad.
Who knows when we're going to hear from Phil again?
Right. It could be a while. I just think the synergy of both Norman and Phil releasing these long, you know, like I said, digital letters on their social media accounts is hard to miss. They're cornered and not in a great spot. Does that mean it's over? No, of course not. All right. So you say Phil plays first? I'm going to go with Tiger. I'll go with Tiger coming out.
You could win that with the PNC father and son next
like
year.
Willis Reed, he's come down Magnolia Lane, and he just plays. Wins. No, I'm just kidding. He plays. I think he might play. I don't know.
You know, the one thing I do want to say about Phil is if the Saudis weren't part of this, I think I'd be really behind what he's trying to do.
Yeah, but you know, like, everybody, like, he's motivated by his own.
I know, but financial... I do believe that he's right about a lot of the things with the tour.
The media rights thing is insane. It's a bad
thing. It's not about the media rights.
Okay.
It's
all right.
It's about the fact that this guy.
Top of the top getting their due. All right.
I was doing the math. Ernie Els made $2 million a year.
Oh, it's an Ernie angle. This is a Phil. You're sympathizing with Phil. It's the hidden Ernie agenda.
I was just looking at things. He made like $40 million in his career. Made $2 million a year on the PGA Tour. Think about that. Think about how absurd that is versus like a guy like J.J. Henry's made $20 million.
Wasn't the Will Gray thing with Charlie Hoffman made $4 million a year without winning when we were battering Charlie Cannon Fodder Charlie? I think, that was $4 million in a year without getting a win.
But this is the whole thing. It's like the priorities of the tour are so warped because of how many people are on the tour. There's 225 people
I know.
And there's 10 that matter.
Davis Love the Third's playing this week on a lifetime member deal. So, oh, well, we'll save this for next week. Getting some great anecdotes about who all had options to play that opposite field event. So we'll get into that. That gets to your point about the members. Literally had someone send us a message. They invited me into this potential qualifier, and I can tell you, I absolutely stink. Does this give you an indication of who's having an opportunity to play their way into the Puerto Rico? All right, continue on. Just ample news. We don't even need to do scores. Panther National, I'll just add, we talked about this at the top. I don't know if JT will be good at designing courses. I kind of just wish he started somewhere else and was somebody else. Like, it's just like not like a flat piece of land and another just another one of these things in Palm Beach Gardens and under the thumb of Jack Nicklaus. Like, it's not really giving him a chance. It's like when the Browns would draft like Tim Couch and Brandon Weeden, and like they gave him, like, it's just a bad situation you're going into. I don't know. I'd rather him give it a shot. Maybe he could end up being good, but I have my doubts about that. But I think the way where he's starting is not like, you don't want him to start with the greatest challenge, but starting in a flat piece of land in Florida with Jack, I'd say is not the greatest situation.
I'll tell you, you know, I agree. You don't know if he could end up being a great golf architect. You don't know. And I threw some stones. But I'll tell you, like, you know, some of the players that have succeeded typically pair up with really talented partners in the golf architecture space. There's a I haven't gone down to see it. I want to see it. This Twin Dolphin place, which is Fred Couples' design.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Okay.
And so he worked with Todd Eckenrode, who does like a lot of restoration work in California, who's like, he does good work.
Yeah.
And like, it turned out good. And I guarantee Freddie didn't do much of anything, you know?
But he got got insight into the process, right?
At least the way to not do it is to go with a guy that does like some of the most reprehensible design work.
I can't get over these names. This honestly sounds like out of a movie. Panther National. That seems like something you would like make up as a satire joke, as like a joke for a bit on like Saturday Night Live. I know it's hard to name things, but Panther National just can't be it. That makes me not want to see it or drive in the gates. Maybe that's my, you know, prejudice. It's a bad name. All right, continuing on with news.
Well, you know, the other thing is it's going to host the tour event. So, you know.
Do you think that's it? It's a kind of quid pro quo thing. Not quid pro quo, but I mean, there's a package deal going on here.
Yeah, maybe JT. Maybe, I mean, here's the flip side. This is a big boom for the Honda. They might actually get a top 10 player to play in their event. They can get Brooksy every year for giving Chase an exemption, you know, and they can get JT because they're playing at his first design.
Right.
You know, right. That ensures that they have some level of relevance in the golf world, which is more than the PGA Tour can afford to give them by, you know, with scheduling slots.
I broke this to like some people in conversation at the party on Tuesday. I was like, yeah, it's like, what? It's like, I thought there was no way they could build anymore in Palm. They were like stunned. There was another golf course going up in Palm. It's like, boom times are back.
It's also like in just a worse land. It's just, the thing, if you
there's
look
panthers
at the routing
running
map,
around, they got to get the panthers out of there. It's
the routing map looks like, if you just compare it to an aerial of PGA National, it looks just like it.
Oh no. All right, continuing on with news. Zach Johnson is their American Ryder Cup captain. If that's, you know, if you
what
can't
would
get
be the, what
you
would
can't
be panther,
get excited
would it be called
about
the panther
it.
Trap, what the bear trap, what would be the panther cage, like what, how do you,
well, again, it's yeah,
the panther coop,
it doesn't make any sense. The bear trap, it's a human trap. The golfers are humans and they're getting trapped in it. The bears aren't like getting its legs snared in a thing. So, like, again, the calling it Panther Trap, again, would kind of be incongruous with what you're getting at. But if, you know, The excitement of a Jack and JT Panther National design on a flat piece of land doesn't get your juices flowing. But let me interest you in Zach Johnson as Ryder Cup captain for the American team in 2023 in Italy. That should get your juices flowing. Jazzed up. We're ready to go. The mittens are already being fitted and formatted for the American team. This is not a surprise. Doug Ferguson, let's give him credit, the Associated Press reported on Wednesday or Thursday. Sounds like the official announcement is not coming until Monday. ZJ would not comment on it so far at the Honda Classic where he's playing this week. Any reaction?
ZJ, I mean, who did they have any other choices? Was DL3 going to do it again? Furyk? Like, that's the thing. They had nobody else to trot out there.
Larry Nelson. He still got shafted. Larry Nelson.
That would have been the great pick.
Duval is not going to get one, it seems like, which is a little odd. Justin Leonard, right? Like, we're talking major winners, which I guess was a prerequisite. Maybe not that Steve Stricker was one. I don't know. Duval, Leonard, I guess their time's passed, and now it's this current sort of click, right?
Who would have been the best out-of-the-box player from the ZJ era, non-major winner?
No, I need time to deliberate this. Come on. Jerry Kelly would be a great one, right?
Streelman?
He's still got tournaments to not win. He's still got tournaments to T5 in.
He'd be out there to, you know, just to usher in some, you know, some good Sunday vibes.
I mean, who would that be? Apparently Stuart Sink still, like, you know, I saw a Shane Ryan article. He's like, he has no illusions that he's going to get it. But, like, I mean, he won a major, right? Stu Sink. David Toms. Was David Toms ever? He never got it, right?
No, he didn't. I feel like he's been lost.
He's been kind of lost on the outside with some of those other guys. So ZJ's, it was not a surprise based on sort of the cliques that have formed in recent, I don't know, 6 years.
What about Bubba? Bubba would have been a good pick.
For the Europeans? The Europe would be happy about that.
I think Bubba would be a good coach. He's got empathy and sympathy.
Yeah, he does. He'd be like elbow bumping everybody. Nick Watney would be a good one. He's from the ZJ era, right? Might work. Anyways.
Ricky
would be good. Ricky would be good. We got to stop.
He hasn't won a major, though.
It's not fair to Ricky to talk about every time he makes a fucking birdie to say he's on the way back.
Oh, my God.
It was unbelievable. I was, too. I couldn't believe it. It's not fair to him.
Yeah.
It's not fair. Every birdie, it's like he's going to shoot 63 and win the next five events. We got to slow down.
He'd never.
Oh, he shot two over. I didn't even see how he finished. I know he shot two over. Oh, my God. All right, go ahead.
Well, that's the thing. I've heard this phrase, like, I've honestly, like, heard them say this 20 times on the telecast, is they kick it to either Faldo or Zinger, and they say, you know, if he plays, you know, a couple good rounds here, do you think that could get him on the comeback trail? That's what it is every time. Yeah. It's like,
he's working it out. You can see the progress. It's coming along. The discourse on him
has to change.
Yeah.
We've passed the point of where it's like talking about, you know, oh, this could be it.
Yeah. I swear I heard it like four times, and I didn't watch like all the entire broadcast, but every time he did something resembling something good, we got that bit. Can we talk about progress? I saw someone tweet today that Patrick Reed has lost 20 yards off his drive. He's averaging. I'm sorry, I don't have the credit. I don't remember who it was. He was like, he's down to like 280 off the tee or something. Kaboom. He's really not. His driving distance, I guess, has just plummeted. All right, I think that does it for news. Beth Ann Nichols, I thought this was a really cool thing. fans can purchase a dual ticket for both LA
events. Oh, I saw
Wilshire,
that. Yeah.
And the other one is what? Palos Verdes?
I got the press release today from Jeremy.
Co-opted by the press release, boy. That's a cool thing. I mean, that's a good thing. Is it going to, you know, change the world of golf? But it seems like a good idea. We'll talk more about that. You're big on that LA swing, right? You're really all in.
Yeah, Palos Verdes is awesome. The other course, obviously Wilshire, we've seen a couple years. It's really, really fun golf course. The other course is really great too. It's like an awesome two weeks span. That the other course is, people are going to be amazed at how beautiful it is. The talk's going to be all the views because it's like on the side of a mountain. It overlooks the ocean. But there's some really good golf holes out there too, and really fun golf holes, just like Wilshire. It's like couldn't be a more different piece of property than Wilshire, but like a very scenic part of LA. Cool golf
course.
Dual
ticket. So, smart idea, right? A smart, cool concept. LA is obviously a big metro area. If you got kids or whatever, like try to double
dip. What if Billy Horschel was the Ryder Cup captain?
You know, I'd be way into that. I'd be all into that. He'd probably be a red ass. There might be like a nose-to-nose confrontation on the first tee with something.
He'd pick himself as a playing captain, though.
That's true. That's true. I love the "surely you jest," Billy boy, ring his bell. No, no, surely you do, sir. Like, that's right. That's kind of in his language as the town crier. Anyways. All right, that does it. Kurt Kitayama, we should give him his due. He leads 6-under 64. That's your 18-hole update by Sabo and a host of others. Leads him by one. Sabo the Slovak with the 65 and Daniel Berger and Chris Kirk also.
We didn't talk about Xander's...
Talk about it. Say whatever you want. You said it's gobbledygook, right? It's hard to. It's just
can I read it real quick for you? You haven't. You didn't read it, so I'll
remember
read it for
reading
you.
It and thinking it was weird, but I don't recall why or how.
At no point have I taken any action or made statements to suggest that I would entertain the SGL as an alternative to the PGA Tour. Thus, it seemed unnecessary to make a statement until now. Why is now the time that you need to make?
Who asked for this? No one asked him for
nobody,
this. He's piling
nobody
on after everybody's already pulled out. Okay.
If you're saying this, you're saying there's probably a reason that you need to make a statement.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, I didn't see Patrick Cantlay release a statement.
Rory,
you know,
didn't
why?
Make a statement. He's already played it, you know, yeah.
Because they weren't over, you know, hanging out in Saudi Arabia a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
My team had been instructed to do due diligence on this matter. Thus, we have met and discussed with representatives of SGL and LIV at LIV, only to come to the conclusion that the SGL isn't close to a finished product or business model. So.
Oh, that's not really a.
Thus, it seemed unnecessary. Yeah. He hasn't entertained the SGL, but.
Not a business. Come back to me with a better model.
His whole representative staff has
due
discussed
diligence.
This, done due diligence. Seems like they've entertained this.
Right. That's a good... He shouldn't have issued that statement. Bad.
This
another
is a,
bad statement.
Who,
why are these guys sucking statements?
God. Who wrote this? Who
Let's
thought
this
was a good
a
idea?
Side business.
Like this clearly goes... Xander reads it. Of course, Stefan reads it.
Papa, yeah.
His agent reads it. His agent's henchmen read it. How does this clear everything?
It makes
everybody.
Sense. Yeah. Just don't even put it out there. Just go keep playing. If somebody asks you, you like, you know, hem and haw, or just say you're out.
Oh,
like,
I'm not interested.
Asked. Yeah.
Oh, you had to say, I'm not interested in that
collection
tour.
Of this word salad, this meandering pretzel of a statement, like it's twists and turns. Yeah, it's bizarre.
Not recent articles containing speculative statements as to where my loyalties fall.
I need a citation.
Require a response.
What were the articles? See, this is like Bryson with the
these
not acknowledging
tweets.
The
they
no lane up context. I need citations to articles. Give me the context, Xander.
My allegiance to the PGA Tour, my belief in positive changes at the verge of being implemented at the PGA Tour, in particular when it comes to Shared intellectual property rights, the size of purses, and overall transparency never wavered. Well, this makes it sound
like some wavering.
Like you were wavering. Yes, it seems like you have some problems.
Yeah, there were waves. That's a good,
like,
that's a bad statement.
This is the worst statement. He's saying that he's pledging his allegiance to the tour, and then he's pointing out all the reasons why he,
I don't know about that IP. We're getting better at, like, talking about intellectual property. Why go down that road? Just say two sentences.
Nobody needed to know this.
Nobody. Nobody's at, this is a Tiger Woods. Nobody's asking for, like, this level of, and it's convoluted. They went four levels deeper than it needed to and ended up tying himself in knots.
Let me tell you why, if I was just reading tea leaves and speculating why the statement came out.
He had an
NDA. Because Xander knows that all of his peers know that he was talking to them seriously.
Yeah.
And this is a move to save face with his peers. It's the same thing what we were talking about with Phil. Like, he's lost all respect that, you know, is that all the, you know, all the people that wavered a little bit. This is so he can still hang out with JT and Rory.
Oh, I love the theory. Good one. I like that. It's a good theory. I don't know if it's accurate, but I love it. I love you throwing it out there. All right. Let's get it. That's it. You have anything else? We good?
No, I'm happy we went through that Xander.
I'm glad we got Xander on the board.
Oh, the Woods review. We can't not give the people the Woods Jupiter review.
Do we? All right, we're at an hour. Well, I went to the Woods Jupiter on it's a Monday night.
You made the pilgrimage.
I was lost.
You came to the Mecca.
Friend of the program, as swamp of creature as a swamp can be, creature can be. He's like, you got to go. You're here. We got to go. It probably wants to remain nameless, but I get off. There's a parking garage. I mean, this could be in Topeka, Kansas. This, you know, this outdoor ball. They got them everywhere. It's the new fad. It's not like some classic building that was constructed a long time ago. It's an outdoor mall. It could be anywhere. It could be in Omaha. Doesn't need to be on the water. It's an outdoor mall with the front-facing restaurant. I get off the elevator. I walk outside. I'm totally turned around. I'm on some cul-de-sac. I don't know. There's no signage. It's just overwhelming scent of buffalo sauce. Like, you've been, like, the sidewalk is covered in buffalo sauce. It's like, I got to be close. I'm in the right area. I can't find it. I don't see a sign. So I start, like, walking around in circles. And I finally see the Woods. I go in. I sit down. A friend of the program, which I thought was great. He's like, I mean, you're going to see it, but, like, just wait till we get the menu. They don't have Monster, which is just completely, just...
It's kind of embarrassing for Monster.
Intellectually dishonest, quite honestly. So it's not enough integrity at the Woods. Oh, by the way, which I think you've disclosed, it's called the Woods because it can't be Tiger Woods Restaurant because Nike has his naming rights, I think. Right, is what I was told. I think it's called the Woods is a rent and drug. So he's like, all right, you got to wait till you get the menu. So as he described it, which I loved, like, this is what we say. The menu is stuck between release patterns. Because, I mean, it's like an Italian. And then it's a tacos. And then it's a steak that could be $50. And then it's a pizza.
It has literally every type of cuisine.
All over the place, and he wasn't lying. A burger, and so it was stuck between release patterns. The food, it was fine. I got a basic stuff. What I loved, of course, the well known. The staff is in blade collars. Loved that. Love that. Now that is intellectually accurate. What's great is at the front, another sort of confounding, incongruous display. You can buy like TW like blade collars at the front and the hats, the like mesh Nike hats apparel.
And the whole staff in white belts.
Yes. Oh, they were white belts. There's one guy looked just down on his luck. He's cleaning up broken glass. Sick of doing that. So you can buy the apparel, but it's not like you're buying the Salty Dog Cafe. You're just buying a Nike Blade collar with the TW on it that you could get at the PGA Tour Superstar. And then the other thing that I loved, and this is my last part of the review, I won't go too in depth here, is there's this big cigar display with all this wall of cigars. And you can buy cigars, but you can't smoke cigars in the restaurant.
Yeah.
So what are you doing? It's like you're buying a cigar on the way out to then go have it at home 30 minutes later. What is this cigar display?
It's a victory cigar for surviving.
But you can't have it. Just didn't make a lot of sense to me. The whole cigar, but you can't have it anywhere near or around here. So that's my truncated review of the Woods Jupiter. I would suggest you all go there.
What'd you order? What'd you get?
I got shrimp tacos, I think it was. Shrimp tacos.
How was it?
It was fine. I needed some kick. I needed either sweet or spicy. It was there. It was a lot in a tortilla, and it was filled, and there wasn't a lot of taste, is what I would say.
How many stars out of five?
Five. I mean, it's electric.
You give the Woods five stars?
No, I don't know. For cuisine or for just being at the Woods?
Just in general, the whole place. What did you say? Three-star place?
The clientele was fascinating. People watching was amazing. And I'm told it's like a touristy. It's not like the regulars aren't hanging out.
No,
there. It's Tiger Woods restaurant too. And they go in there. Yeah, right. Right. So
two stars?
We'll give it three. We'll fall on the... Just because out of deference to Tiger.
I give it two.
How did you end up getting refused service?
Listen,
post-wedding?
I've told the story.
Okay. Oh, I forgot.
It was a Friday wedding.
Okay.
And on Saturday they had a wedding. Or they had a party, a pool party, but it rained all day. It rained like it was torrential downpour. So we went to the Woods. It was at the pool party. It was at the Wyndham Grand right next door.
Across the street. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't have my Wyndham Top 10 rewards card, so. But anyways, we went down there. So we were there from like three. I want to say we got down there at like two or three. And we were with a big group. But like the thing is, like, I've been overserved. There's so many times in my life I've been overserved.
Yeah.
And I'm like the first to admit it. If somebody's like, no,
yeah,
you're good. Right. I'm like, okay.
I'll turn around.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm not an angry drunk or anything.
Yep.
But anyways, I was fine. I'd had like a drink or two an hour for a while, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I wasn't driving anywhere, but I was not at all at a point of being, you know.
You weren't a bit pouring yourself into the bar. You were fine. You were okay. All right.
My wife and I sit down to have dinner. So we were at the bar and we sat down to have dinner at a table. And then
That's the other thing. This bartender?
We ordered wine.
Oh, God.
We ordered wine.
Yeah.
And the waitress said, I don't think so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think so. And my wife looks at me and says, well, time for us to go. We just walked out.
That was the other thing. The bartender was like kind of shocked I wanted a menu. They thought we were just having beers there, like drinks. I was like, no, I need to eat. I haven't eaten in like 8 hours. And she's like, oh, all right. Like, here's a menu. I had to like wrangle it from them. Anyways, it was fine. That's my Woods Jupiter review. I'd recommend everybody go there just for the experience.
It's a two star out of five. I can't give it three.
On a serious note, I'd recommend the one you and Westy rolled for, Lucky Shuck.
That's good menu.
All right, everyone, enjoy your Fridays. Enjoy your weekends. Maybe we'll have more letters and apologies to dissect come Monday, but hopefully a little more golf to talk about as well. And just enjoy it out there. Have a safe and wonderful weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.